continuing on this theme of preaching Christ, what it means to preach Christ, and in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to deal with Christ, preaching Christ from the Old Testament. You know, the New Testament was in the Old concealed. Everything that's in the New was in the Old. There's nothing new about the New. It was already in the Old. Just the writers wrote it down and showed us Christ. And the Old Testament is in the New revealed. The New Testament gives such light and tells us what the Old Testament meant, what it was saying. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses, it says this: "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory or hold fast what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And he says, this is all that I delivered unto you. This is what I preached. This is the gospel. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, that I also received, that Christ taught me, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, when he says according to the Scriptures here, he's not talking about the New Testament. Well, he's talking about the Old Testament. Christ died according to the Scriptures, what the Old Testament said. Those books from the Old Testament, those 39 books of the Old Testament. You know, preachers don't have a problem preaching from the Old Testament. They preach from it all the time. But the problem that preachers have, and most people have in studying the Old Testament, is finding Christ and preaching Him from the Old Testament. That's what's hard. And when you read there in Ezekiel 34 tonight, I've seen Christ just as immediately when you start reading that. If God's going to seek His sheep and find His sheep and save His sheep, there ain't but one way He's ever saved His sheep. And then He said, "I'll raise up a shepherd." Who is that shepherd? "My servant David." Who is His servant David? The Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And we got to find Christ. And when I look in the Scriptures, I want to get to Him as soon as I can. But as you read the book of Acts, go through the book of Acts, you'll see exactly that's what the apostles did. They preached Christ from the Scriptures. They preached Christ from the Scriptures, and that's before they ever had anything of the New Testament. Look in Acts chapter 17 with me just a moment. And you know when Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, and straightway, the Scripture says straightway when he is converted and he got his eyesight back after 3 days and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, straightway he went and preached Christ in the synagogue. Now how could he preach Christ straightway? Because God made him understand the Scriptures that he already knew that they spoke of Christ. He straightway began to preach Christ, and they got upset with him and they laid wait to kill him. And they let him down in the basket. Now here he is, again in Acts 17, verse 2 and 3. He's in Thessalonica now. He's in the synagogue of the Jews. "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Now what Scriptures is he talking about? He's talking about the same Scriptures that he had read all of his life. Genesis to Malachi, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all the prophets, Zechariah, Habakkuk, and Daniel, and all of the judges, and Ruth, all of them. And he says he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He took the Scriptures and showed them to them, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And here's what he did: opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. It was absolutely necessary that he suffer.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely necessary that he rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, this Jesus that you crucified, this Jesus that walked this earth, this Jesus born of Mary in Bethlehem, raised in Galilee, this Nazarene, said, this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, whom the Old Testament told us about. Now look over here in Acts 28. Acts 28. Here's another instance. Paul is about to the end of his ministry here. And that's why I said, I preach that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So here He comes. He comes into Rome. And they had never, didn't know He was coming. And so they say to Him in verse 22, we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect of Christians, that's what they call them then, a sect. But all I know is that we know that everywhere it's spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. Now watch this. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them, now listen, concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from early in the morning till in the evening. That's all he had to use.
That's all
he
needs.
Now what would a preacher do today if you didn't have the New Testament? If you took the New Testament away from him, and he had to find Christ, and had to preach Christ, and had to preach the salvation that's in him, had to preach his crucifixion, had to preach his satisfaction to the law, had to preach his obedience, had to preach his burial, had to preach his resurrection, had to preach his exaltation to the right hand of God, had to preach who he's going to give his life for and lay it down, and all the glory that he would have. If you took the two New Testament away, how many messages do you think he'd get out of the Old Testament? But it's just, it's to people that see it, and those who don't take it. Is that not right?
All right.
Oh, but oh, listen, now there are places in the Old Testament that's so obvious that they speak of Christ. Isaiah 53 is one of them. It's obvious that they're speaking of Christ. Psalm 22, it's obvious that it's talking of Christ and His suffering, His actual agonies on the cross. Psalm 23 is speaking of Christ as our shepherd.
Yeah.
But to consistently, for us to consistently and constantly view the Old Testament as revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when it becomes hard. And so I want to ask two questions and hopefully answer them this evening if I can. Should we view all the Old Testament as a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? Should we view all of it, from Genesis to the last word of Malachi, all of it testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ? Every prophet, everything that everybody said was pointing to Christ.
All right.
Now, second, if that is true, shouldn't we labor to find Christ and preach Him from the Old Testament? Shouldn't we labor to do that? You see, I'm going to start out, and we're just going to look at some scriptures. You see, the New Testament tells us, makes it plain to us, that the purpose of the Old Testament was to tell us and teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament tells us that. Ain't that right? I'll show you that in Romans 15. I'm going to show it to you in several places. But in Romans 15, you see, the Old Testament was written for our learning of Christ. For our learning of Christ. That's what it was written for. You could not possibly understand the book of Hebrews, because all it is an interpretation of everything concerning the Old Testament, and everything concerning Christ, and everything concerning the tabernacle, everything concerning the priesthood, everything concerning the offerings, everything concerning our Lord, every prophet. He said, we all talk about the prophets? Christ is that prophet. You won't talk about the priest? Christ is a high priest forever. Not only after Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. So we see here in Romans 15:1, it says, we then that are strong ought to embear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now why would Paul give us that exhortation, that injunction that we ought to do this? And why would he tell us not everyone please, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him, to establish him? And he goes back to the Old Testament and goes to Christ and tells us why. For even Christ pleased not himself. And so we're related to him. Now watch it. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now where did he get that at? Well, let's look over in Rome and Psalm 69 and we'll see. Where did he get that at? Now he's telling us here that we that are strong, we that have some grace, those that God has established in the faith, and you've got weak believers, you've got believers that don't understand, and you bear their infirmities, we bear them up, and we don't try to please ourselves. And we please those around us to be the good of their edification. And the reason being that Christ pleased not himself, that even he himself bore the reproaches of them that reproach thee. Psalm 69 and verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Oh, I've got to bring glory to your name, the honor of your name, the honor of your people. And watch this. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee. Now that's you and me. All the times we've reproached God, all the times we've reproached Christ, all the times we've reproached the grace of God, he said, the every one fell on me. So why did he say that? Why did he do that? Why say it's written? Well, back over here in Romans 15:4, it tells us this. This is what it tells us. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, before you and I, before the New Testament was ever written, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for us to learn. For our learning. To learn what? What is written concerning Christ? Every exhortation that we have brings us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Written for our learning. And that word whatsoever means everything. Everything. And here's why, that we through patience, as we learn of Christ and learn of what he did and how he upheld his people and what he did for his people, that we might have comfort of the scriptures and might have some hope from those very scriptures. You read tonight about the sheep scattered here and yonder, sick, weakly. And we pray, Lord, save your sheep. He said there that that's exactly what he's going to do. So I get comfort from that. I learn something from that. And oh my. And so all this was written to teach us of Christ. And that through learning of him, we would have patience. That we would be comforted. And we would find him to be our hope. And everything that we need to find hope. Now let me show you another one over here in 1 Corinthians 10. Show you that the New Testament shows us that the Old Testament was written for our learning. The Old Testament was written to teach us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 10, verse 8, it says, neither let us tempt Christ. What? Neither let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. What? Where was Christ at back there? This is talking about when those people murmured and complained and committed fornication against God, and they murmured and complained, and God sent the five serpents among them. They were bit. And he lifted up the brass serpent and said, whosoever look upon this serpent, he shall be healed. And he said, don't tempt Christ. Don't let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted him. I mean, they tempted him. And what is it to tempt him? That means, beloved, that means that you just keep trying him and trying. Tempting him means, well, I'm going to jump off of this building here and see if the Lord will save me. If I complain enough about him, he'll do something about it. If I complain enough about my lot in life, he'll change my lot in life. And what he's saying is, and those people, how awful it was sin in them, that they wanted to go back where they murdered their children.
That's right.
They was over in Egypt where they murdered their children. Remember, Moses was hid for 3 months because he was a proper child? And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We got some good food over there. This manna. We loathe this light bread. We loathe it. And we're out here starving to death. Got no water. And water's coming out of a rock. complained and they complained. And they can't. Let's jump off this building and see if the Lord will save me. And that's what they said. I tell you, if this all God's got for me, I don't want it, what they were saying. And they tempted Christ. And in order to say that Christ needs my help, to say that Christ can't make it without me, to say that I have to do something for Him in order to get Him to do something. Oh, let's don't tempt Him. And neither murmur. You ever heard Tim James ever preach on murmuring? He'd get on that murmuring. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. Murmured about how things are going. Murmured about how I feel. Murmured about how much money I got. Murmured about how sick I am. Murmured about God doing this and God doing that. And why didn't He do this? And why didn't He do that? And why didn't He give me these children? Why didn't He give me them? And all murmured. And they were destroyed of the destroyer. Now watch it. This is what I want to say. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. I'm telling you, the New Testament tells us the Old Testament was written to teach us about Christ. These things were written, happened unto them to be examples. Examples. And what's this now? They're written for who? Our admonition. So when you read that, this is what not to do. This is how not to act. This is how not to talk. This is how you honor Christ. And not only was it written for our admonition upon whom, and we're at the end. And oh, beloved, listen, we live under the new covenant. But we find that all these things that happened to these Old Testament people were to teach us not only what to do and what to believe, but what not to do. Don't tempt Christ. They did and failed. And this teaches us also this, that our Lord Jesus Himself went back to this time. And He said the condition those people were in. He says that was talking about my death.
Amen.
That's what He said. That talked about my death. He said as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Be crucified. And so you see, I'm telling you, and that the New Testament tells us, the Old Testament was written for us to tell us and teach us about Christ. And oh my, that told us that according to the Scriptures, Christ was going to die. The Jews didn't see that. They didn't understand that. And so many people don't understand. I told you the other day, a man asked me what in the world that was about. Those people being bitten with those serpents, and why would he lift up a serpent on a pole, and what good would that do? See, I had to explain that to him. And I took him over here and showed him. You know how that spoke of Christ. And how that the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up as that serpent, and everybody that looked to it, He didn't say, you had to have perfect eyes. All you had to know was that you was bitten and you was dying. That you had the disease. And it was provided by God. God did not have to provide that.
Right.
And then not only this, how depraved human beings are, but this is how we tempt Christ. Not only did they look to that, but then after a while they set that serpent up and they began to worship that serpent. And over in Kings, it says that they took that serpent and beat it to pieces and said it's just a piece of brass and a hush ton, and they still tempted Christ because not worshiping Christ but the serpent, which just spoke of Christ. Now look over here with me in 1 Peter. The prophets. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they preached Him. Oh, how they preached Him. Here He says in verse 8. I'm going to kind of paraphrase this as I go. Whom having not seen, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're waiting for His appearing. Whom having not seen, the only way we see Him is by faith. In whom though you see Him not now, here's how we do see Him, yet believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable, thinking about His coming, of His appearing, And oh, your soul is full of glory. And here's what you get for believing. This is the end of your believing. This is the goal of your believing. The salvation of your souls when we shall enter into glory. Now watch this. This salvation that he's talking about, of which salvation the prophets, they inquired and searched diligently. When Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53, when he wrote the verses that in 11, chapter 11, when he would write those things, when he wrote, you know, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He searched and he inquired diligently. Who is this speaking of? What's this about? When is this going to happen? Who is this that's going to come? What will he be like when he arrives? They searched diligently and inquired, and they preached that the grace of God was going to come. They preached that. Now watch this. And how did they search? How did they inquire? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them. The Spirit of Christ was in them. That's how they searched. And they preached and prophesied of a grace that should come. And in the Spirit of Christ in them, what did they do? They testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They talked about Christ's suffering. They talked about His glory that should follow. Joseph is a perfect picture of that. He started out as the son, the love of his father. His father gave him a coat that nobody else had. Christ has got a covering nobody else had. Ain't that right? But all his brethren hated him. They despised him. He said, one of these days you all going to bow down to me. Oh, I don't want to think so. Yeah, you will. Well, we got to get rid of him. And that's what they were looking at. That's what they were testifying of. They were testifying of his suffering. What did they do? They put him in a ditch. Put him in a pit. One's going to kill him. And Judah said, no, let's don't kill him. There comes the caravan. Not only will we have to kill him, we can get some money out of him.
So...
sold him as a slave. Christ restored that which he took not away. And then they put him in prison. And all he exalted and set him in the highest position. All the food was in his hand. If you ate, you got it from Christ. You got it from Job. And so that's what they're talking about, his sufferings. Look at how Isaiah talked of his sufferings. And then they talked about the glory that should follow. His glory followed. Down he went first. But then he went to the throne. Down he went first. But then all of a sudden, he shall receive the prey and divide the spoil with the strong.
Amen.
Oh my. And why was it revealed unto them? In verse 12 it said, why was it revealed unto them? Unto whom it was revealed. Not just for themselves, but unto us. They was ministering. They were preaching. They was ministering to people like you and me. Yes, they were. They were preaching, ministering to people like you and I. When Paul preaches through Galatians, you know who he uses more than anybody else in Galatians? Abraham. Used in Romans chapter 4, wrote Abraham, Isaac, huh? And oh my. And so it was revealed unto them, not just for themselves, but for us they ministered. And then the things that they ministered to, we're reporting right now. And who's reporting it? Them, us, that are preaching the gospel unto you, sent down from heaven. And the angels would like to see this. Angels would like to understand this. So you see, the Old Testament prophets were ministering to us. And when they ministered to us, the Holy Ghost comes down and we report what they tell us. Report what they said. Do you see that? Do you see that? Oh my. And all the Old Testament prophets, all were moved to testify of Christ. And they were teaching us about His sufferings and His glory and His exaltation. And look what our Lord Himself said about it in John 5. Look what our Master said about it. And you know, the next couple of weeks I'll deal with Christ in the Old Testament itself. But here we're showing you how that the New Testament tells us that the Old Testament was written for our learning, to teach us about the Lord Jesus. But look at Christ's testimony to Himself from the Old Testament. Oh, how many times did He testify of Himself? But here in John 5:39, He said, "Search the Scriptures." There's two things here. Search them as a command. And secondly, search them to learn, to find out, to inquire. "For in them you think you have eternal life." You got the Bible. He said, you got the Old Testament Scriptures. And you say we have Moses, we have Abraham to our father, we have the prophets, and we're looking forward, the Messiah tells us of the Messiah that comes, and we're looking to them being fulfilled. So in them you think you have eternal life. And that's what we do. We say we believe the Word of God. We say these Scriptures are the Word of God, and we stake our eternal souls on.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
All right. "And they are they which" what? "Testify of me." You know what a testimony is? You know, when somebody testifies, they're supposed to tell just exactly the truth. Nothing but. Only what they know for sure. Only what they've seen for themselves. And then the Scripture says they testify. Oh, come on, Moses. Tell us what your message is. Tell us what creation, why you wrote about creation. Tell us why you wrote about Adam being made. Tell us why God made him a helpmate and what that means. Tell us about them hiding from him and covering themselves. Tell us what all this testifies about, Moses. Tell us about why you offered those lambs there that night before you come out of Egypt. Tell us what that testified to, Moses. Tell us about that prophet that God said he'd raise up like unto you. Come on, Moses, get on the seat and tell us. Come on, tell him. Samuel, tell us who you're talking about. Oh, so let's bring them all forth and let them testify. What are they going to tell? Our Lord said, they testify of me. And if you don't see nothing but Jewish history and God restoring Israel to its place in the world, you've missed Christ altogether.
All right.
Ain't that right? And oh, now look, and they go on and they said, and then he says this, "And you will not come to me, but you might have life." You won't come to me. The Scriptures testify of me and talked about me. So why won't you come to me? And then he says down in verse 43, "I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another should come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now watch. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." I don't have to accuse you to the Father. The Old Testament's already done it. That's what he says. There is one that accuses you. Who? Moses. You trust Moses? You say, "As for this fellow, we don't know where he is, but we know who Moses is." Oh, you say you believe Moses, you trust Moses, and you're going to follow Moses? Well, guess what? I don't have to accuse you. Moses himself is going to stand and accuse you. Now watch this. "Well, how do you believe Moses? You'd believe me." Why? "For he wrote of me." He wrote of me. Now this is it right here, beloved. "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" If you won't see Christ and don't believe the Old Testament and can't see the gospel there and can't see Christ there, can't see His sufferings and can't see His glory and can't preach from the Old Testament, then our Lord says, "My words has no effect on you whatsoever." That's what He told them, that the rich man that was in hell. That's what Abraham said. He said, "Oh, if he got out and if we went and told him." Said, "If one rose from the dead," said, "he'd go, you know, if you let somebody go tell my brother not to come to this old place," said, "if they won't believe the prophets and Moses, they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead." Ain't that right?
That's right.
And oh, beloved, that's why he says the Old Testament Scriptures testify of me. And I tell you, beloved, men, as we look over here in Luke just a moment, Luke 24, men can preach on creation, debate about creation, argue about the creation. Men can preach on creation. They can preach on Abraham. They can preach on Isaac. They can preach on Jacob. They can preach on Joseph. They can preach on Moses and his law. And never ever getting in spitting distance of Christ. They really can. People do it all the time. But our Lord said every single one of them testified of me. And that's what he says here. And there's three alls here. I want you to see these three alls here in verse 25. This, you know, we've talked about this so many times over the years, but it bears repeating. He's walking with the disciples on the Emmaus roads, and then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And here's what the prophets spoke. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Every sacrifice talked about his sufferings.
Right.
Noah in the flood and all that went on before that, his persecution, that spoke of his sufferings. And to enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses and all, there's the second all, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Three alls. All. Christ is our all and in all. Ain't that right? And then last of all, let me show you this and I'll be done. Look over here in 2 Timothy just a minute. And remember, I'm trying to show you that the New Testament itself teaches us and tells us that the Old Testament was written to make us know Christ. For us to have a... heard Brother Henry preaching this morning. Oh, he went through a whole litany of things about Christ. And I mean, he just started stacking them up. Just, as a father, he went higher. He just started stacking them up. In fact, that's probably what I ought to do. Next week, I'll just bring that video and let you watch it. And be just set back. And because preaching Christ from the Old Testament. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 15, look what it says. See, this is the Old Testament scriptures that teach us about Christ and the prophets. Tell us about Christ and His suffering and His glory. And Paul's talking to Timothy here, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Call them holy. The words are Holy Scriptures. And watch this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ.
Amen.
What scriptures was he talking about? From a child he had known them. Huh? From a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. And so he could see what he's saying was that Christ... how do you think Abraham was saved? People say this is the Christian age. It's always been the Christian age. Every believer's been a Christian. You know, Abraham was a Christian. He believed Christ. He saw Christ dead and rejoiced in it. This is the gospel age. There's the, but ever, all of them were saved by the same gospel, same Christ. And that's what he's saying here. And oh my, that's why I start. I ask you again. If you handed a preacher or handed you, if we took away the New Testament and all we used was the Old, could we find Christ and salvation that, and that salvation is through faith in Christ? Salvation is by grace. Christ given us that. Could we find that? Could we see that? Could we get a hold of that? Could we see God's sovereignty in the salvation of His people? Oh, there's so many places, but and all because, and here's the reason why. He said they're able to make you wise. And this is how he says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, Genesis, in the beginning, God. And that's why we have such confidence in our gospel. Is because it starts with God. The Bible starts with God. That's where our gospel starts. It starts with God. And so we start with God. And get what confidence we have in the gospel. Because we can find it in the old and the new and everything in between. Huh? Ain't that the most blessed thing in the world? Oh, and all scriptures given by inspiration. God breathed. And He gave that Word to us. Gave that Old Testament to us. And then He gave us the New to make us understand what the Old was about. And it's profitable for doctrine to instruct us, to teach us. It's profitable to reprove us, like we just said. Don't tip Christ. To correct us. When we're wrong in our doctrine, wrong in our attitude, wrong in our manner of life. For instruction in righteousness, in how a man is made righteous through the righteousness of Christ. And oh, this is how a man becomes mature. And truly, not thoroughly, truly furnished. You want a house with all the furniture in it. Well, the furniture is Christ. Just like all that furniture that was in the tabernacle. Everything in that tabernacle prefigured our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to be furnished with our minds, with our hearts, with our souls, furnished with Christ. Do you see it? Do you understand? Do you think the New Testament tells us why the Old Testament was written? Preaching Christ from the Old Testament. If you see it, I heard one person say one time, said when I got converted and seen Christ, it's like getting a brand new Bible. Said I seen things I didn't even know it was in there. Read it for years and years and years, and then when I got converted and I seen the Lord, said I got a new book. And it does, it becomes a new book to you, don't it? Before all you seen was morality and duties and how you're supposed to live. What we ought to be doing for God. Now we see what God's done for us. And we just let our souls rest on Him. Rest on Him. Our Father, thank You for allowing us this wonderful, wonderful privilege to talk about You. Talk about Your blessed Son. Father, thank You for Your Scriptures. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the doctrine of Christ. Thank You for what was read tonight about the shepherd and how he'd gather all of his sheep and how he'd make the difference. Oh, blessed be Your name. Who is like unto Thee? Father, thank You for the dear saints that's gathered out here this evening, for the time of fellowship we've enjoyed. Meet our needs together. Save You people in this place. Those who are sick, those who are being tried. Oh Lord, we know that Your grace is sufficient and that You'll uphold them to Your glory and their good. We bless You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.